The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Well, welcome back as we head into Hour 3. A delight to do so as we do on most Mondays with the one and only the great Brandon Weikert, author of several books, including Winning Space, How America Remains a Superpower, The Shadow War, Iran's Quest for Supremacy, and Biohacked, China's Race to Control Life. He has a book on Russia and Ukraine coming out a little bit later this year. He writes for the National Interest, nationalinterest.org. Happy Monday, Brandon. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me, and what a Monday it is.
What a Monday it is. What mean you by that?
Well, for me personally, I've been outside trying to fix my AC with an HVAC unit, which has been fun. And then you might say it was a real bloodbath, with Trump, his little supposed scandal using the term bloodbath has become now a... it's supposedly a controversial thing, and we're still dealing with an Iran that's on the march in the region of the Middle East, and a Congress that apparently wants to ban TikTok, and former President Trump is now saying he doesn't want to ban TikTok. So that's sort of what a Monday it is.
You didn't even get to the Supreme Court and government influence over social media, getting them to ban and censor things the government doesn't like. Didn't get to Israel, Netanyahu, Schumer, Biden, and Rafa. Oh my gosh, you're just scratching the surface, my friend.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, it must be all that heat that's getting to my head, that Florida heat.
All right. Well, let's see if we can cool you off with our HVAC system here, Brandon Weikert. TikTok. Okay. Yeah. I spent a lot of time on this issue last week. And if I have any disappointment, it's people looking for what seems to me to be circumspect, quibbling issues, reasons not to do it. It seems like a slam dunk common sense idea, this thing. And people seem to be wanting to look for some libertarian reason that it gives too much power to the president. I read the whole bill. Peggy Noonan may have had it right. She said, okay, so on an 8-foot stick, this gets you 2 feet, but how about 2 being better than 0? I don't know. What do you think?
Right. Well, that's why I've always said libertarians are the single greatest threat to the United States, probably ever, because whenever it comes down to actually getting things done, particularly for the right, enter the libertarians to suddenly side with the left.
Right.
They are not libertarians. They're usually libertines, anyway.
Right.
But I digress. My point with this is, it's very basic. The Chinese have been doing this sort of thing to American and Western companies that operate in China with wanton abandon. And frankly, on a very basic level, it's just nice to do it to them once in a while. And so on that level alone, we should absolutely do it. Who cares about the libertarian argument? They don't matter anyway. What elections have libertarians won ever? They don't. They're like parasites. They latch on to a bigger cause, and they use that to elevate their people in. And what do we have to show for it? 50 years of China growing, the destruction of the American middle class, the destruction of America's industry. The libertarians
rampant
do not have a great
illegal track immigration.
There. That's right. Right. Giving cause to our leftist enemies, giving them aid and comfort.
Letting criminals out early. Not prosecuting, getting rid of cash.
Like I said, they're not libertarians, they're libertines.
Yeah.
And they cannot be trusted. And so they should basically, everything they're saying right now should be discarded. Because the bottom line is, as I said, a very basic level, China does this to our companies all the time. We have never done it to theirs, rarely. Nothing as big as this. And so it's just nice on that level to do it. And beyond that, we know for a fact that TikTok, and I'll tell you what Oracle has said. Oracle engineers have set off the record because, they're reviewing the algorithm for TikTok. That's part of this deal that ByteDance, the parent company of TikTok, had in order to continue doing business in the United States, they had to basically let a U.S. firm, in this case Oracle, review all their source code for the last year or so. And what multiple Oracle engineers have said is that they believe the TikTok, as it is run by ByteDance, is a giant, quote, counterintelligence operation here in the United States. And so, you know, that alone should just be cause to just get rid of this app. I don't really even agree with those who say, oh, just let Oracle run it. No, we should just get rid of it. Just take the Band-Aid off. Get rid of it now. And we have other social media apps, frankly. And frankly, if I had my way, we'd ban all the social media apps because, as I showed in my article last year at the Law and Liberty website, basically the science has shown that social media negatively reprograms human brains.
Agreed.
Permanently.
Agreed.
And it's nothing good. It's like smoking a pack of cigarettes a day. Nothing good will come.
Right. No, agreed on that, except it's like smoking 100 packs a day when you hand it to the Chinese.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we know for a fact, by the way,
I should say the Chinese government. I'm sorry.
The
distinction.
We know for a fact that ByteDance, parent company of TikTok, opened their proprietary algorithm, which is the whole company, they open their proprietary algorithm up to the Chinese Communist Party so that the CCP, under their national security law about 2 years ago, was able to basically glean all of their proprietary information in order for ByteDance to continue doing business in China. What's more, we know that several key leaders in the ByteDance executive suite are actual members of the Chinese Communist Party who were put there because the Chinese government demanded that for ByteDance to do business in China, they had to have Chinese Communist Party minders at the highest levels of the company. That is who we are letting 170 million Americans feed their most personal and intimate data over to.
And yielding their children's brains to. I mean, there's like three things going on here. One is the surveillance and the data collection. The other is the infection of our children's brains. And then the third thing is the propaganda, political propaganda. There's a trihedra monster here. And I was talking to someone you and I both know. I didn't ask him if I could quote him on air, so I won't. But someone you and I both respect, I was talking to him about, I said, can you give me an analogy in history where we've had to do something like this before? And he said, I can't. And the reason is we've never let something like this happen before.
Right.
We have never allowed ourselves to open ourselves up to a foreign influence operation from an enemy country ever.
Right. And it's important to understand that what ByteDance says, all these algorithms, whether it's, you know, Facebook or ByteDance, whatever it is, all these social media app algorithms, whether they want to admit it or not, this is machine learning. This is artificial intelligence.
Yep.
But now you have a foreign intelligence operation in the form of ByteDance, in the form of TikTok, operating in the United States. You are feeding, it has the most amount of sensors. There's no algorithm for any social media company that is as invasive as the TikTok. That is a fact, as the TikTok algo is.
That's right.
The TikTok algo is able to basically create a digital profile of all of its users that it then compiles into a database and that the Chinese are then going to use to program psychological weapons and other kinds of psyops to deploy against the 107, it's almost like a third of the American population, 170 million American users. This is not phenomenal.
It's actually more, Brandon. It's actually more because you add now facial recognition to all this, and you add the people who are who are not necessarily users of TikTok but interact with users of TikTok, and you're probably close to much higher than 50% of the American population.
Yes, and it influences pop culture.
Yep.
TikTok sets trends for pop culture, Hollywood,
and
it's all this feedback loop, and for the media, for news. It's all this feedback loop, and it's all coming from this one algorithm that ByteDance has. And the issue right now, and the reason that TikTok is even being threatened right now, this is what nobody seems to understand. The Congress said a year ago, we don't want to do this to TikTok. If ByteDance sells TikTok
that's
to
right.
Oracle.
No, you're right. You're right.
You know, and so it wasn't even like it was this hardcore.
They had a choice. They did have a choice, yes.
And then what they need to be asking themselves, what people who are on the libertarian side need to be asking themselves is why, if this isn't something nefarious, why wouldn't ByteDance just try to save the product
right.
and their reputation right. by selling off this asset right. to Oracle and partnering
It's such a great
Oracle.
Point. It's such a great point. If it's just a moneymaker, think of the money they could make. Let me take a commercial break, Brandon. We have so much more to do. But I'm glad you see it the same way I do. I mean, as I said, I read the legislation. I understand some of the concerns raised by the libertarians, but they don't pan out. Not if you track the law the way it's written. They just don't. And it makes one wonder, frankly, it makes one wonder if they were paid for as well.
Well, I can talk about that.
Yeah,
later.
Well, Brandon Weikert is my guest. He and I will be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. Brandon Weikert is my guest, W-E-I-C-H-E-R-T. Follow him on Twitter, X Twix at We the Brandon, W-E the Brandon. Brandon, sometimes you do wonder, I mean, just you made a comment right before the break about the lobby that China, the lobbying that China engages in Washington, really throughout the country. And you, I don't know if you're like me. You're much more steeped in foreign policy than I am. But if you're like me, you sometimes wonder if there's maybe like five people, and you're one of them, that you can actually trust when it comes to issues having to do with Synology, because almost everyone else seems to be on the payroll, huh? Maybe not five.
I'm not compromised. That's why I'm living.
No,
in
it's
South
you.
Florida.
It's Gordon Chang. It's Brian Kennedy. Art Waldron. Once upon a time, I don't know if he's still writing. I'm running out of names. There, I got four fingers.
Exactly. And it's because that's why I'm living in Southwest Florida and not living in a posh palatial home in Great Falls, Virginia. believe me, the opportunities were there.
Yeah.
What I will say is you're right about the compromised bit, because if you look at, particularly on the Republican side, you look at the people who have come out against selling off TikTok to Oracle and basically banning TikTok as an entity under ByteDance's control. It all started, and I noticed last week, it was the first time I think in the last 5 years I've ever seen Steve Bannon put any daylight between himself and the former president.
Oh, so
Trump.
Did Raheem Kassam, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
That.
Yeah.
And so it's important to understand what's going on.
Yeah.
Raheem and Bannon know the individual who I'm speaking of.
Yeah.
There is an individual, and I'm not going to say who,
I know who it is.
Hold it in confidence, in confidence rather.
Yeah.
But there is an individual who has been with Trump's inner circle since the primary in 2016.
Yeah.
And this individual is on the payroll of the firm that is lobbying Congress to keep TikTok going.
Yep.
It is being paid for by the Chinese government, basically, through intermediaries. And so this individual is whispering into Trump's ear and telling Trump, do not let the Republicans turn on TikTok, which is why Trump last week went out and completely negated everything from his first term. Remember, Trump was one of the loudest.
He wrote an executive order on this.
That's right. And then he gave a speech in 2019 in which he was, you know, destroying.
He was ahead of the curve, frankly. I mean, he was.
Yes. And so the only it's a simple reversal. And the reason is because somebody that he listens to, respects and trusts, and you and I both know who this individual is, as does Bannon, which is why Bannon is actually distancing himself from this move by Trump. This individual is an actual paid lobbyist for ByteDance, which is a Communist Party Chinese party entity that is trying to reprogram the minds of America's youth. It's like digital fentanyl, as Mike Gallagher described TikTok. That's exactly what it is. And the people that should be the loudest proponents of banning it on the Republican side are suddenly the most intransigent. And 99.9% of the reason is because they've been compromised by China on some level, financially or directly or indirectly.
Boy, it's so hard to figure out, and yet it isn't. When I was living in D.C., it wasn't China. I mean, there was the China lobby. There just wasn't a lot of legislation in and around it with a lot of PR problems. You know what it was back in my day? Saudi money. It was Saudi Arabia.
Still there.
They were buying all the...
Yeah, no, it's still definitely there. The Saudi funny money is still floating around.
Yeah.
But the big kahuna is China.
Yeah.
And oftentimes China uses the same firms that the Saudis do and the Qataris use.
Sure.
Many of my former colleagues from The Hill are working at those firms, leveraging their Rolodex to you know, get paid big bucks by these foreign entities to influence laws and influence lawmakers unduly. You are witnessing that play out right now with the otherwise inexplicable move by several leading Republicans, including President Trump, to basically negate their previous stances on TikTok. And if you can't get something this small and this obvious
right,
then you're never going to get the big picture stuff right.
No, I think you're correct in pointing that out. This is a slam dunk. As I said, you've got propaganda. Yeah, anyway, I don't need to rehash the three reasons, but this is a slam dunk. And I think what people sometimes perhaps don't appreciate until and unless they have a chance to spend some time living or working in D.C., it is amazing how much helicoptering of money gets thrown around in that city, gets dropped and dumped on that city from these foreign interests. It really is amazing.
Yeah. And it is. And I mean, Patton Boggs, what's Haley Barber's group?
All these firms that
everybody in politics knows, they all have foreign clients. Yep. Most of these firms are actually funded because of these big accounts they score with these foreign clients. And they're not just, you know, it's not benign. Okay, the reason these foreign governments are throwing so much money and resources into these organizations is because it's legalized corruption. It's legalized influence peddling. And before it was always a nuisance, but now I would argue in the last several decades, it's become a national security threat. Agreed. Now we're clearly seeing it's a critical one.
Agreed. Thank you for pointing all of that out. I remember this coming up against this when, I don't know if you remember the Dubai Ports World or Dubai World Ports controversy. And it was actually kind of analogous in a sense. You know, it was a foreign entity being allowed on our shores to provide security. And boy, was there a lobby for that stuff. And again, it was like the same five people who were against it, you know?
If I remember correctly, unfortunately, my friend who I revered, Rush Limbaugh, was on the wrong side of that.
I don't remember if he was or wasn't. I remember Gaffney was in the right place, as per usual.
Yeah, it was one of the few times I remember kind of going, I mean, he was making the free trade argument.
I don't remember where he was on that. I remember it was a fight. It was a fight.
Yeah, well, the free trade argument does not fly here, especially because free trade itself has been proven it's not free and it's not fair, and it's often one-sided against our country and for whatever other countries are engaging in the so-called free trade. And we would be better off listening to the likes of Robert Lighthizer, who says, yes, we should be willing to use tariffs and we should be willing to engage in protectionism, particularly of national security industries, because our enemies do.
Well, that's right. We're playing Marcus of Queensberry, and they're playing UFC, including on this issue, actually in two ways on this issue, because the Chinese version of TikTok is limited, but at the same time, not only is it limited, the content is different. Not only is it limited and the content is different, they don't allow Facebook.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. There's no reciprocity between us and them.
Yeah.
And this is what I was saying at the beginning, is on a sheer kind of visceral level, the Chinese have been doing this to us for 40 years, our companies. It's just nice to once in a while, just once, do it to them.
I know.
Just even, you know what I mean?
Know.
It's just, it's a visceral, it's a self-respect.
I know. This is what I loved Jean Kirkpatrick for saying.
Yes.
She said, when we got elected, we took the kick me sign off our back.
That's
You know, that used to be foreign policy.
Right.
You want to do a little Gaza when we come back?
I would love to.
Okay. Brandon Weikert is my guest, author of several books and more on the way. Another one coming out this year on Russia and Ukraine. Author of Winning Space, How America Remains a Superpower, and The Shadow War, Iran's Quest for Supremacy, and Biohacked, China's Race to Control Life. He and I will be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, coming to you from the 960 Patriot Broadcast Studios, brought to you by the veteran-owned Midas Gold Group, your trusted source for precious metals. Brandon Weikert is my guest, W-E-I-C-H-E-R-T, writes for the National Interest, among other places. All right, well, I mean, I don't know where to start here. Chuck Schumer's speech last week, Netanyahu's appearances on the Sunday shows, Joe Biden and Netanyahu having a conversation today, Jake Sullivan saying Israel should not go into Rafah. People very upset about what looks like an awful humanitarian crisis. Looks like an awful humanitarian crisis in Gaza. This is a headache, to put it no higher, Brandon.
Yes, it's a headache. That's not our problem. It's an Israeli problem, and we should get out of the way and let the Israelis solve it. You know, this is like, it's a no-brainer to me. This, why are we trying to intervene here? Didn't we learn anything from 20 years of Middle East intervention? We should have no role here. We should just say, look, Israel is a sovereign, free country. It is a democracy. It was brutally and viciously attacked, you know, on October 7th. Whatever you may think of certain Israeli policies, no country deserves what happened to that Israel on October 7th. So let the Israelis resolve the problem on their own. They don't need us butting in. I don't understand why we want to bite off this particular issue when we've got so many problems. You know, I got into it with Ian Bremmer on Twitter over the weekend. You know, he's posting these, oh, it's so sad what's going on in Gaza, the image of Gaza. And I'm just like, well, wait a second. I posted in return an image of Haiti, of Port-au-Prince burning and the cannibals running
Anyone
around.
Anyone talking like, about the Sudan right now, 7 million
right,
refugees?
Exactly. And my point is like, why should I get more exercised about what's going on in Gaza and not, I live in Florida. Haiti's actually pretty close.
Yeah.
Why should I not be more worried about what's going on in Haiti, the humanitarian crisis there? Furthermore, why should I not feel solace that Israel is a civilized, modern, democratic nation, and it can handle itself if we just get out of the way? Why should I be more worried about what Israel's doing in its own backyard than what we're not doing in our own backyard?
Could Egypt be doing more, Brandon?
Oh, God, yes. Egypt should be doing more. Jordan should be doing more. Pretty much the entire Sunni Arab world should be doing more, because they should see. And deep down, by the way, the Saudis in particular, behind the scenes, they know that everything that's going on right now in Israel, between Hamas and Hezbollah and Israel, this is not actually about the Palestinian cause. This is because Hamas and Hezbollah's benefactor in Iran wanted them to do this. And by the way, all these poor suffering people in Gaza, 2006, they had a chance to elect a government, and they chose, whether it was corrupt or not, doesn't matter. They chose to elect Hamas to lead them in Gaza Strip. And then at any time in the last 15 years, I know that the elections were discontinued, but at any time in the last 15 years, the people of Gaza could have risen up and said, we will not be governed like this anymore. And yet they didn't. And in fact, I think it was Pew a few months ago did a poll in which they asked ordinary Gazan citizens, you know, what do they think of Hamas? 72.4% of those polled said they supported Hamas. So this is not, you know, we could talk about, oh, it's horrible what Israel's doing. Israel's fighting a war, a defensive war, that was started by Hamas on behalf of Israel's great enemy in the region, Iran, which also, by the way, happens to be a pretty significant enemy of ours.
That's what makes this thing such a head-scratcher. Is it for domestic political consumption that Schumer is doing Biden's bidding,
really,
or
shocked.
What?
Well, Schumer's really shocking, given his ordinary constituency,
right.
You know, given his age, the fact that he represents the old vanguard of the Democrats that is rapidly, clearly being replaced by the psychotics of the squad and the ignoramuses, frankly. Not that Schumer was much smarter than them, but he was wilier. You know, 15 years ago, he was out denouncing CARE.
Right.
He was out denouncing, you know, I mean,
right.
We can find clear evidence, whatever people think about Schumer, he was usually on the right side, generally, of the Israeli issue. And here he is now suddenly throwing that out the window and becoming AOC in an old New
Does he have an AOC problem? Is that what it's about?
Well, he does.
Yeah.
I think with the resignation, or not the resignation, but with the semi-retirement of people like Nancy Pelosi,
yeah. Yeah.
And others being aged out, I think Schumer's looking around and going, the party's leaving me, and I want to stay relevant as long as possible, and so I got to shift to the left. Shifting to the left in this case is becoming a raging anti-Semite, which he's becoming.
Well, let me take a quick commercial break. I want to come back to you with a little bit more on this issue if I can. Brandon Weikert is my guest. We the Brandon on Twitter, X, Twix. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. Brandon Weikert is my guest. He writes for the National Interest as well as many other outlets, author of several books, including the one I was just thinking of mostly was Iran's quest, China's quest for supremacy. But let's talk for a moment about a few different years here, Brandon, if we may.
Sure.
1983, Beirut. 2000, USS Cole. 1993, Mogadishu.
Yep.
Now we're building a floating pier in Gaza. No, yeah. I'm serious, brother. How is this not going to lead to Americans being killed?
Well, because didn't you see Jake Sullivan and the Pentagon said if Hamas cares about human life, they won't attack the pier. Didn't you hear those big bad words from the Biden Pentagon? So that ought to really guilt the Hamas.
I could have added Khobar Towers to that, 96. Okay, right. Go on. Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, that's who we're dealing with. We're dealing with the same group of people, by the way. Many of these are Obama holdovers. Jake Sullivan, all of them. They're all from the Obama years. These are the same group of people who, after the Charlie Hebdo ISIS attacks in France, rather than responding militarily or doing something with sanctions against these groups, they had James Taylor come and give a peace concert
right.
at the Foggy Bottom headquarters for the State Department. So that's who you're dealing with. So not only have we moved beyond painful naivete, we've now moved to the embracing the head choppers and actually building infrastructure for them, like the servants that they view us as. Remember, that's how the Islamists view non-believers as
Demi.
Slaves.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so that's what we're behaving as. And so all this is going to do is not only feed in to the narrative, which has taken hold really since 2005, but definitely since the withdrawal in Afghanistan, that not only is America weak and incompetent, but we are subservient to the superior Islamists who come from the region. And then on top of that, it's going to invite attacks from Hamas. And furthermore, giving infrastructure to Hamas, which they will then use to transport weapons and personnel. We know this is what they're going to do. This is why Israel in 2010 had to do a blockade in the first place, depriving them of access to the sea. What's to stop Israel from saying, America, this is actually like a direct threat to our people and to our national security, and we're going to have to take direct action against this stupid peer because we can't let it continue on. It's going to be a threat to our forces and our people and our safety. So this is a complete disaster that is completely self-inflicted by the Biden administration. And it's just interesting. They're doing this in Gaza, which is thousands of miles away and really doesn't affect me one way or the other. But they won't do this down for the poor Haitians. They won't do this down to help the Border Patrol stop the flood of migrants coming up. But, you know, it is the priorities are so bizarre, and this gets us back to what we talked about before the break, which is this really just domestic politics playing out on the international stage? Is this just Biden trying to keep the psychotics in his own party who hate Israel from revolting in the 2024 election? Because he's going to need every vote he can get.
I wonder how strong that tug is, and whether...
Well, obviously, it's very strong.
Yeah. Yeah, it's made itself stronger, hasn't it? I was curious that you had mentioned, you know, some of these people are fading away into semi-retirement, like your Nancy Pelosi's. When she was in power, she played kind of an interesting game with them.
Like AOC, that's for sure.
Yeah, but when they were challenged, she put the money behind them.
Because she was afraid.
Yeah. I think they read the writing on the wall here.
Well, remember the first impeachment. It's important to remember the first impeachment against Trump, Nancy Pelosi was against.
Uh-huh.
That I know this for a fact. Uh-huh. I have a friend who used to work for her. I know people involved with her that initially, had it not been for Vindman and the recording and all this coming out, she was not down with it because she thought it would be humiliating for the Democrats to basically pull the trigger on an impeachment without any kind of real evidence. And thank God she had somebody on the NSC like Vindman who could come out and do what he did to help her along. But she initially was very opposed to going to full bore impeachment, especially on the heels of the Robert Mueller flop. And she, because remember, Pelosi comes from a different politics. She comes from a different era. So she had to be dragged across the finish line by the far left. And so yet again, we have with Schumer and some of these others is they're looking around going, we want to stay relevant. We want to keep our jobs until basically we're dead. And we can't do that if we don't follow where the young people want to go. And the young people on the left are going off into basically supporting Hamas, Hezbollah, and the Houthis.
It is. I'm just searching my memory a little bit on this, and I'm not researching it in real time. But the one memory I do have from Nancy Pelosi in impeachment was, more than any other Democrat, she was trying to tamp down or dampen the joy that a lot of Democrats thought this was.
Yeah.
I remember she thought it was a bad look. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, but that's not to defend her, but it is to say that the
no, she was a little bit more of an adult, though, I think.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which is saying a lot.
By the way, she was on China, too, for many years.
She was. She was. Yes, she was definitely. But that's also because of her district.
Right.
That's also because of where she comes from. So, you know, ultimately, all politics is local. I learned this very early on the Hill.
Yeah.
Is that if it comes down between standing with your national party and standing with the district that you come from, 9 times out of 10, that politician, to keep his or her job, is going to come down on their district.
Yeah.
Changing a little bit, but it's that basic rule of thumb still holds true.
Yeah, I think that's right. It'll be interesting to see how this Senate race goes, because it's really, I think, Nancy Pelosi's hold on the California Democratic Party is propelled by Adam Schiff's nomination. But we'll see. I mean, you know, we'll just have to see how. I mean,
I think he's a shoo-in.
hope springs eternal.
I think this thing's been bought and paid for long ago, and we're just going through the motions. A lot like the Russian elections. You know, I think Schiff will probably get 87% of the vote in California, and he will get elected. And I wouldn't be surprised if in about 10 years he's the Democratic Party's presidential nominee.
Well, do you have any guesses on who Robert Kennedy's going to pick, or does it matter?
I thought, just because of his, I mean, I'm not saying that I like this, but I actually thought the perfect pick for him would have been Cornel West, just given his politics. That actually would have really done damage to Biden.
Yeah.
I can't imagine why he didn't do that, except to say that, you know, he might be acting as a spoiler for Biden, because he's not going to take any Democrats. Who he's going to take are on the fence, anti-vax Trump voters.
Yeah,
I
suspect that's right. I also suspect he'll do a little bit better than John Anderson, but not better than Ross Perot. That's my keen insight.
You're right.
Okay.
I think you're right, especially the longer the election goes.
Yeah.
He loses less and less.
Yeah.
He loses more revenue.
Yes, that's right. Well, Brandon, thank you for spending your Mondays with us. We enjoy it so much.
It's been a bar mitzvah in hyperspace.
What is it?
A Lewis Black joke. He said it's been a bar mitzvah in hyperspace.
Bar mitzvah in hyperspace. Author of Winning Space, How America Remains a Superpower, Biohacked, China's Race to Control Life, and The Shadow War, Iran's Quest for Supremacy. Follow him on Twitter, X, Twix, at We the Brandon. Thanks, Brandon.
Thank you.
You bet. Portions of this show brought to you by our good friends at YRefi. Check them out at investyrefi.com. That's invest, the letter Y, then refy.com. Or call them at 888-YREFI-24. You can visit them in person, too, if you like. Their offices, they're headquartered here, and their offices are on Chauncey Lane in North Phoenix. YRefi has a secure investment in a collateralized portfolio, where you can earn up to a 10.25% fixed rate of return, and it's not correlated to the stock market or the Federal Reserve. With YRefi, you are in control. You can turn your income on or off, compound it, whatever you like. There is no attack on principal if you ever need your money back. Of course, you get a monthly statement with no surprises, and with YRefi, there are absolutely no fees. If you don't visit them in person, again, check them out online at investyrefi.com. That's invest, the letter Y, then refy.com. Thank you to them for underwriting so much of our March 26th event, Fighting for Freedom. In doing so, they made the price for everyone so much less. So thank you for becoming such a big sponsor at such a big level, Y-Refi. And the benefit is to y'all. You can get tickets. We're bringing in Mike Gallagher, Brandon Tatum, and myself. We'll all be on stage talking about all the issues with you at Arizona Christian University, March 26th in the evening. You can get tickets at 960thepatriot.com. We have a VIP event as well as general admission. Young David will be there. As I said, I'll be there. We'll have some other special guests. I look forward to seeing you there. I was just thinking about all things foreign policy over the break. Brandon writes for a magazine called The National Interest, which was founded by Irving Kristol some years ago. He originally founded The Public Interest about domestic policy. Then he founded The National Interest about foreign policy. And he is sometimes credited as being the founder of the neoconservative movement. But the interesting thing about Irving Kristol is he's not his son, Bill. And Irving really didn't spend that much time writing about foreign policy. Most of his stuff is domestic policy. Young David picked up a book of his at the book gallery the other day. It's all domestic policy. All of his writings really are, with perhaps one or two exceptions in a career of like 60 years of writing. And he was once asked why he didn't write more on foreign policy. And he says there's not much to write about. It's actually the easiest stuff in the world. You just have to have an understanding of the difference between right and wrong. Much more easy than domestic policy. And it seems to me every time we get in trouble through entanglements or through anxious propitiation or for not acting when we should, whether it's misfeasance, nonfeasance, or malfeasance in foreign policy, it all boils down to that very simple rule. We forgot our bearings. We forgot the difference between right and wrong. It's actually not that difficult. That's why we talk about countries having normalized relations, because there is such a thing as normal and normal behavior. All right. Until tomorrow, young David, thank you. Mr. Bill, thank you. Terry, thank you. The rest of you, thank you. I am Seth Leibson. God bless. And class is dismissed.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.